You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, this is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. I'm Ricardo Gonçalves and it's Tuesday, the 16th of February 2021. Later, we'll take a look at how superannuation funds have started the year. But first, let's talk dividends because dividends are back on the table. BHP declared a record $1.01 per share dividend for the interim. That's up 55%. And all up, the miner is returning around $5.1 billion to shareholders in dividends. It follows a $6 billion underlying profit for the interim, thanks to record iron ore prices and exports out of Western Australia. So how does this bode for dividends in general and across the market? AMP Capital's Dermot Ryan says retail and mining dividend yields are 14% higher than this time last year, and I spoke with him earlier. Dermot, to what extent are dividends back on the table?
Well, we're one third of the way through reporting season now, and dividends are having a very sharp rebound from August. So we're seeing strong dividends coming through, in particular on the mining and retail sides, but we're also seeing dividend surprises coming through on banking and the broader industrial complex.
Okay, let's go into those, three major segments in more detail. Resource stocks, is it all to do with iron ore?
Iron ore is the major driver. You know, last week we had Mineral Resources, who almost quadrupled their dividend on last year. Today we've had a record dividend from BHP, and tomorrow we've got Rio Tinto's results coming out in the morning.
The banks had to be conservative because of COVID guidance from APRA previously. What now, do you think?
Well, the banks are having a very strong rebound. We've had Bendigo and CBA who have both come out and delivered about 75% of the dividend that they did this time last year. What they haven't done, though, is they've built up provisions in case there are any problems in their loan books. But with a very strong outlook for housing at the moment, it's likely that these are going to prove to be very conservative. And so some of these provisions may well be unwound later in the year, thus boosting dividends per share in the August and May results for those that report then. Similarly, we saw from NAB who came out with a trading update this morning. You know, there's strong earnings per share coming through. And they're above the expectations for markets. So it's broadly a positive outlook for bank dividends recovering through the year.
And then the retailers, many of them, that they did particularly well during the pandemic. But for dividends to be maintained, though, doesn't that growth story need to also be maintained as we exit COVID and when JobKeeper ends?
Yes, that's very true. A lot of the retailers have actually repaid a lot of their debt now with the large revenues they saw last year. So not only have they delivered record dividends now, but having no debt on their balance sheet means there'll be more free cash flow available going forward. But you're correct. I mean, people are really focusing on what's the real level of growth that we're seeing in consumer spending as we go through the year. And as the spot lockdowns in places like Victoria ease, will we see that repeat of spending in the retailers? And we think it's going to last a little bit longer than people expect. So we think you'll probably see strong dividends from this space through the back half of the year as well.
On the flip side, where haven't we seen dividend growth?
There's still a bit of a recovery coming through on the property side with rent collections and working through some of those abatements. On the utility side, we're also seeing weak pool prices for electricity. So that's impacting the cash flows in that space. Insurers too have had difficult results. So we're unlikely to see a fast return to those high dividends from all of those three sectors.
So generally, for those investors relying on dividends right now and into the future, what are you telling them?
Well, it's very clear dividends are rebounding from August. Aussie equities are the highest yielding asset class available to domestic investors because of franking and high yields versus overseas equities markets. And we think there's a strong base to grow from here. And, we think with the S&P ASX 200, just 300 points away from a record, that with this trajectory of earnings, we're likely to see new index highs through the year.
Dermot Ryan there from AMP Capital. The Australian share market rose 0.7% today. The S&P ASX 200 to 6917. BHP driving the gains up 2.7%. As a result, Rio also rose 3%. NAB added 1.1%. The best performer on the 200, Zip, that buy now, pay later company, gaining another 10%. A big faller today was Fortescue Metals, down 3% on leadership changes. For more on the market action, I spoke earlier with Martin Lakos from Macquarie. Martin, the ASX 200 reached an 11-month high today. Is a record within sight?
Well, it's possible, Ricardo. We've only a couple of hundred points away for both the ASX 200 and the All Ordinaries. And what's driving this is obviously this very low interest rate environment. And obviously, there's a huge amount of liquidity that's available around the world. And of course, we're in the middle of a reporting season, which seems to be beating expectations at this point in time. So that potentially is also a driver for higher markets.
What kinds of trends are you seeing?
Well, this week we've had 70, or going to have 76 companies report. Next week, about 104. So, you know, analysts are going to be very busy in the next couple of weeks. We're definitely seeing upgrades beating downgrades. And it's largely because, to some extent, the results are better than expected. But also, we started the reporting season with analysts taking a pretty conservative view ahead of that reporting season.
BHP came out with its profit numbers today and a record dividend. What do you make of the result?
Well, the BHP result was pretty solid. It was impacted by higher depreciation charges, but obviously BHP is really benefiting from the very strong iron ore price, and iron ore contributed about 75% to the result overall. And BHP over the last number of years has made sure that shareholders were getting better returns out of the strong profits they're making. So that dividend is up about 26%, which is great news for shareholders. In Australian dollar terms, that's about $1.40 a share at the current exchange rate.
And what about your thoughts on the banking sector, especially after NAB's trading update today?
Well, you've got to view the banks overall in the medium term as a proxy for the economy. And as the health conditions and the economy starts to improve, that's clearly got to be good news for the banks, albeit probably on a lagging basis. But certainly some of the statistics out of the NAB trading update that came out today would suggest that the last quarter was a much better improvement than the previous two quarters, up about 47% on average. They've certainly noted, for example, that the loan deferrals on home lending had significantly improved, was down to about $2 billion. It had peaked at $38 billion of deferrals. And the same on business banking as well, had significantly fallen from $19 billion to about $1 billion. So clearly there's some statistics that's suggesting that, and overall impairments for NAB in this result, and it's probably reflective elsewhere of the other banks, overall impairments are also improving. But clearly we need to see the economy continue to improve for the bank's earnings to pick up from where they were a couple of years ago.
Martin Lakos there from Macquarie Private Wealth. And quickly, let's check in on your superannuation. The results from Chant West, it says median growth funds are continuing to recover, up by 0.2% in January, 2% over the past year. But on a longer term view, over the past 7 years, the median growth fund is up 7.4%. For more on that, I spoke with Chant West research analyst Mano Mohan Kumar. Mano, how would you describe super fund performance so far this year, and why the small increase in January?
In the month of January, share markets and super fund performance were flat. And that was really because we saw some unusual and targeted trading activity by retail investors in the US. And there were also fears of a resurgence in COVID cases in various regions. That offset some of the good news, such as President Biden's proposed plans, as well as the vaccine rollout in the UK.
Going into February, though, what can you tell me about performance so far and why?
Well, January was a flat month. Share markets have regained their momentum in the month of February. As a result, we estimate that the median growth fund is up 2.5% so far this month. And that brings the return since the end of March to an impressive 18%. And that recovery, it's quite remarkable given the ongoing health concerns and economic damage caused by COVID. Much of the recovery is due to improved economic activity, the development and rollout of vaccines, and as a result, the optimism around returning to some level of normality as far as economic activity goes.
I guess if we look at the short term, the returns haven't necessarily been very large. But over the long term, over 7 years, returns are about 7.4%. So what's your overall message to investors looking at their superannuation funds right now?
Look, I think it's important to reflect on a couple of the key messages from last year. One is the importance of diversification. So just keep in mind that most Australians are invested in portfolios that have their investment exposure spread across a wide range of growth and defensive asset classes. And that diversification helps cushion the blow during periods of share market weakness. At the same time, you're able to enjoy much of the upside when share markets are doing well. The second key lesson was the importance of remaining patient. By remaining patient, adopting a long-term focus, you ensure that you're less likely to make decisions based on short-term noise, which could potentially hurt your long-term investment outcomes. And the reality is that super funds have met their return objectives over 3, 5, 7, 10, 15, and 20 years.
Mano Mohan Kumar there from Chant West. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter at BusinessRicardo along with Instagram.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.